Thank you, Brother Don. Appreciate Don filling in tonight for Tim being out. We are in the Prayer Warriors marching orders. We're on part two tonight of this. We'll have part two tonight, part three next Wednesday, and then the last Wednesday of this month we'll have Brother Don Follett's granddaughter here, Naomi. We all took her on and supported her as she went to, I think it was Belize, I think. And she's going to come back and give a report. And she's going to be heading back there. So if you want to be thinking ahead, a couple of weeks ahead, if you want to consider supporting her, we'll take up an offering for her, again, for anybody who wants to help her to go back again. I think she's going to go back to Belize October or November, and also Israel. So she'll be heading that direction. It's interesting. By the way, when you got your handout I just gave you, I realized that you already had the, on the very front page, it talks about the cover page there. I'd already put one in your guys' binder, I guess, so you'll have two of them. It's one of those things as you get older, either you think that you did something and you forgot to, right? Or you did something you thought you didn't and you end up doing it again, you know? So it was the second one. There should be, by the way, no fallacies in this next one here. Nancy has done it all. So if you see anything, like if there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, you'll know it's not me this time. All right. And so she did this one for me. So I appreciate that a lot. Have you ever been guilty of looking at somebody and making a judgment and you've never even met them before? It's easy to do, isn't it? I mean, sometimes I wonder if we even do that with God sometimes, if we make a judgment on who he is based upon how we view him. I remember as a kid, I don't know why I'm thinking about this, I remember as a kid, right directly across, I mean, we lived in a pretty nice neighborhood, but right across the street from us was a guy that lived there who was a known mob man. And so people had already made judgments on who he was because of his influence, his character, his job. And, you know, I look back on that, and I have to say, though he was with the mafia, he was always, always nice to me. I mean, every single morning, he would give me $10 just to go start his car. And, man, I told that the other day to somebody, and I got the same response. Everybody just sat there. You guys didn't get that? Yeah, in case the car blows up, you know.
I thought you were like warming up for him.
When I saw the guy share that story, and everybody laughed, so I thought, that's got must be good. You're the second group I tried on, and it's like, he was pretty nice, wasn't he? You know? Man. I'll have to find one more group of people to tell that to. The third time they say is a charm. All right, anyway. You know, they say telling bad jokes is a sign that you're called to go into the ministry. Bad jokes or corny jokes? So we're looking at hearing and obeying God here tonight. And we're looking at four premises here in this study. And we saw last week, the first premise was divine guidance is the continuing communication of God's daily desire for every believer. And there's four of them. We looked at one last week. We'll look at two this week. And then we'll close out this session one study with next week with the fourth and final premise there. And so we'll continue on this area. So tonight we're going to go into premise number two. And premise number two is divine guidance flows from the dwelling place of God, which is the heart of man. Premise number two is divine guidance flows from the dwelling place of God, which is the heart of man. Now, as I'm saying that, I was tempted to leave the last part out before I even showed this thing, because I was going to ask y'all, so where is the dwelling place of God? And I think most people here would have said in heaven. Correct? And yet we see that he's in the heart of believers. Correct? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ dwells. He tabernacles with us. Our body is his holy temple. So he's within us. And so divine guidance flows from the dwelling place of God, which is the heart of man. Now, when we talk about the divine guidance flowing, it literally means that God's guidance is wanting to issue and proceed from the Holy Spirit to us. And he will, between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word, it will become a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Holy Spirit is the one who will lead you and guide you. How many of you all need guidance? He will lead you and guide you into all truth and understanding. I don't know if I shared this before because I'm old and I can't remember if I did share it before, but I also rest on the assurance that you guys are old and probably even if I did, you won't remember. All right? When we were kids, we used to go up in the Yosemite National Park almost every year, our family and another family, and then maybe every third year we'd go to the Sequoia Redwoods. So it was just an annual thing that we would do. And then our friends would go to a place that was called Dinky Creek, and they would always invite, they had one boy, so he wasn't by himself. They'd invite me and my brother to go with them. And we loved Dinky Creek. They had what they called the nature slide, just a rock slide made from the water. It was just a blast. We'd take wooden boats and float them down the river, you know. And we became adventurous one day and decided, hey, let's follow Dinky Creek up, see how far we have to go, and find out if we can find where it starts. Did I ever tell you guys that one before? Some of you are saying no, some of you are saying yes. So some of you remember, some of you don't remember. And so we decided as boys, we were elementary school, we're going to go find out where this thing begins. And we walked. Now, do you think we're ever really going to find it? No. That's what we thought, too. But we went, and we were probably gone well over half the day just walking the creek so that we could just follow the creek back to get to the right place. And when we get to this place, we come up over this hill, and there it turned into I'll bet you it was bigger than this room, a big old, almost like a big pond. And there were thousands of monarch butterflies everywhere. Wow. I don't know if it was breeding time or what, but there were thousands upon thousands. It was gorgeous. I remember us like, we found it. And we actually found where it began. It was that big pond where the spring was coming up out of that, and then it would run down there. So there was water that was in some kind of a cycle that was being used here. And it was an awesome thing. I mean, it was overwhelming for even kids. And we were all excited about it and went home and told everybody, and nobody believed us. A lot of things there, I think if we're willing to seek God's face, he will reveal some things to us that will flow, that will spring up out of our hearts because that's his dwelling place. I guess that's why that verse says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Now, it doesn't just say he's going to show us great and mighty things. It says things that we what? Know not. He wants to reveal some mysteries to us that he's kept back. I believe that this pastor that I was praying with for his wife, he was half-hearted on whether he believed that or not. God has put him into a place. He has to make a choice whether he's going to trust that that's true or not. And so I told him that if we would simply honor God's word, God will honor his word as well. He doesn't have to honor us, but he has to honor what he said. Is any sick among you? Yeah. Let him call for the elders. They did. And let him anoint them in the name of the Lord and pray over them. The prayer of faith shall heal the sick. So we did that. And he's so excited. He's hoping that not only does God raise her up according to us doing what the scriptures have taught, but I can see him as I listen to him on the phone and read his text. He's beginning to bubble up, ready to use what God's going to do to declare to other people the great things of God. I mean, he's ready. And he is in a place, he pastors a church of several hundred people, and he's in a place where he could influence a lot of other pastors who are keeping people from believing that New Testament teaching that could impact a whole lot. Matter of fact, he told me, he goes, as I read that thing, I thank you for showing me this way of praying so that I, as a pastor, if people come to me, I can tell them, well, this is what the Bible says, and show them that great truth. And so I think God wants to do a whole lot more, and he will bring situations into our life. Anybody have situations going on in your life? That he wants to be able to bring good things out of that will flow from him. That is premise number two. Remember, it is hearing and obeying God, and it brings about these four premises. Look at the summary here. The summary here is God speaks from where he dwells. Or you can put God speaks from where he lives. But God dwells in our hearts. Now, this is an interesting verse of scripture here in John 14, verse 16, 17, and then we jump to verse 23. And we've probably read through it several times before in our regular reading. But I want you to read it with me and understand that there's two people involved in this conversation. All the disciples are gathered. We all are familiar with John 14, are we not? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And he goes on to talk about where I go and the way you know. And then Philip comes into the picture. Not Peter. Usually Peter's the one that speaks up. Philip says, Lord, how can we know the way? And Jesus tells that great passage. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we get into that area. And then we jump down to verse 16 of that same thing. The disciples are all there. He's still talking one-on-one with Philip, though they're hearing. And listen to what he says. He says, and I will pray the Father. Jesus is talking to Philip. And I, Jesus, will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. So here's God the Son talking to Philip, saying, Philip, I'm going to pray to God the Father, and God the Father is going to give you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. We have the Trinity being brought into this picture right here. Now watch, that he, the Holy Spirit, may abide with you. The word abide there means that he will come and remain. He is not leaving. Look what it says. How long will he abide with you? What's the next word? Forever. Forever. Now watch. He calls a comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But Philip, you know him, for he dwelleth with you, now watch, and shall be in you. Folks, I want you to let that sink in, because we have been saved, many of us here, for quite a long time, and we begin to take things for granted. God the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, is dwelling in you. And he is there. He says, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The word in there, if you look it up in the Greek, it is a preposition. And it is talking about a preposition here is denoting a fixed position in place and time. He is not leaving. He's there in place. He's number one, and he's going to continue to be there throughout all eternity. Forever, it says. We have that resource. Jesus answered and said unto him, Philip, if a man love me, and that's the word agape. If a man agape me, he will keep my words. That means that he will attend to what I'm saying very attentively. He will be bending the ear. He will be listening to catch what's being said. If you love him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He will be careful about how he's hearing. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And, watch, my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
That's amazing. You got the Trinity right there. The whole
all three of the Godhead. We. He says, if you will love me and my words, if you'll be attentive to what I'm saying and you will hear and obey, my Father will love you. He will, if you will agape my words, my Father will agape you. And then, if you are doing that, my Father and I, though you already have the Holy Spirit in you, will come and we will make an abode. We will take residence with you as well. We will make our abode with him. We will make you our residence, our dwelling place. Look what it says here. It's kind of interesting. He says here in this one part at the very end, we will come unto him. Who's he coming unto? If a man love me and keep my words, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. The Father and the Son will come unto you. And the word come is an interesting word here. I think of it as like, hey, come on over here. That's about the extent of it. But it talks about that you, when they come unto you, it will be advantageous for you. How many of you all need an advantage in life? The advantage is the Father and the Son coming because of our love for his word. Us being attentive to hear it so that we can do it, so now we can experience it. There's two types of knowledge. There's a head knowledge and there's an experiential knowledge. And he wants us to experience something. He wants us to have this divine guidance flow from the dwelling place of God, which is the heart of man, where the Holy Spirit is. And if you're walking in the Word, you're obeying the Word, the Father's there and the Son's there as well. That's the second premise. The Comforter in you, the Son and the Father, one on each side. And this is what Jesus is instructing. And by the way, Jesus is the truth, right? And the one that's abiding in you, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. And they both came from the Father, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I don't think that we all actually realize what God wants has done for us and what he wants to do for us. We sing that song. We sing a lot of hymns. Matter of fact, we're going to be singing some hymns that Tim picked out for Sunday, and they're really good hymns. And I was looking through them, and I thought, how many times do we sing these hymns as this a hymn, and we're not singing them with, this is what I really mean, Lord. We're singing the hymn because we're knowledgeable of it. We know it. Might not even have to open up the hymn book. But is it something that we're singing that, this is what I want? Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. We know that one, right? Walking on higher ground. Are we? So that's the second premise. The average Christian, I've seen this over the years. We were up in New Hampshire, and pastoring a church, and there was a family that was members of that church long before we were there. They had long since gone, and they were right living in town where the church, and when I say in town, we're talking about a community of about 250 people up in the mountains. So they're not far away, and yet something happened that they left that church and they were driving 30 minutes away. Now, let me just stipulate, 30 minutes doesn't sound like a long time around here. But they went through 1, 2, 3, almost 4 towns to get to that by way of mountains and hills and everything. Because that's what they felt. Well, we came, got the church reestablished and going, and they came and visited one service one time and said, we used to go here. And I said, I knew that you did. And I kind of knew who they were. And in the long run, is what I'm getting at is, we're talking about guidance, divine guidance, correct? And They came to me one day after they'd been visiting for a while. We said, we've been praying, and we feel that God is leading us to come back. Otherwise, what they're saying is, we have received divine guidance. Would that be correct to say that God's leading us to come back? If that's what you're sure of, that's what you need to do. They were there for about 3 months or so, maybe 4 months. It wasn't very, very long. And they came to me, and they said, hey, we've been praying, and we feel that God is leading us to go back where we came from. And sometimes I'm nice, sometimes I'm not nice. But even when I'm speaking something, I'm going to say it in a nice way. But I just said, now, wait a minute. I said, I'm confused because you said basically that God guided you to come over back home here. And now, within a few months, I said, is God double-minded? Is God wishy-washy? Does God do that? Or is it just so easy that when we want something done our way, we just throw out there, I prayed about it, it's God's will. And we declare God's will, it might not be God's will because it didn't flow from within. Long story short, they did go back to where they were at, weren't there very long, and went to another church. So I'm just trying to say, I think there is a lot of Christianity that operates that way. A lot of Christians, that's the level of divine guidance. It's their decision, not God's. And when you're seeing people doing that, they're running from something, and God keeps taking them to a church where they're going to run into it again until they learn to get it right, you know. So anyway, don't know why I threw that out there, but I'm just saying that's the difference of something that's flowing from a Trinity, okay? It's confirming. I heard someone make mention, because we hear this a lot too, this is my conviction. This is the conviction that I hold. I heard a guy say something that was very, very, very interesting. He says, convictions, we don't hold convictions. Convictions hold us. That's why you see people say, I've got this conviction about this, and then something happens in their life and their convictions change. They never had a conviction about that. It was a convenience for that time, and now that time has changed, and now it's convenient. Again, I just want us to understand there is so much more to Christian living, daily guidance and divine leadership, than what we understand, I think. Premise number three, divine guidance. Come on, baby. Divine guidance must be sought with caution and counsel. It must be sought with caution and counsel. Don't be hasty. Summary. Expect, as a Christian that is abiding in Christ, walking in the Spirit, spending time loving the Word, being attentive to it, knowing that the Father and the Son have made their abode with you, that you are seeking His counsel with caution, His guidance. Expect God to speak, but use caution. Isaiah said in Isaiah 30, verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Do you guys believe that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is leading you? Huh? Amen? Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the keys is listening for that voice of God. And it will come through a variety of areas. But also we have to remember as we get into it, there's others that would like to lead us astray. John 10:27 in your text, my sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and I know them, and they follow me. Anything that would take us away from the Word, that we would not have the Word to stand on as point to, is not the way of God. I have known some good men. I have a man that comes to my mind from years ago. I wasn't even in the ministry. I prayed with him at work. We studied together. There was three of us, and his wife got cancer. She passed away. We were in their 30s probably. Left him with three little kids. Good guy. Was faithful to his church family. And as time went on, he, as a young father, was wanting to remarry. And he met a young lady, very, very attractive woman, which I think he was listening to that maybe more so than to the Spirit. There were some things in her life that didn't line up. And it was sure enough that it didn't line up that he actually came to me and to another brother to seek counsel. So when somebody ask questions about something, it's because they've got a red flag. They've got something that's not right. And so when we talked with him, we went through scripture with him, showed him that it's no question about you getting married. If you're looking for divine guidance, if you're a widow or a widower, you have that freedom, that liberty to remarry in the Lord, only in the Lord, it says. And so that we're not questioning that. We're questioning your concern. You brought this to us. We didn't even know about it, you know. And so ended up doing that. He was kind of like, it wasn't what he wanted to hear. He had already kind of made a decision in his heart, but he's kind of trying to ask questions to get counsel, but really wasn't interested because maybe he had already made the decision. So I just asked him, I said, well, let me ask you this. We both agree, and it seems like you're not at ease with what we gave you, and it came from Scripture. Have you talked with your pastor about this, your spiritual leader? He says, I have. I said, what did he say? The same thing as you guys. So he has now three people who have given him the same answer. And long story short, he began to go around and show pictures of her to all the lost guys at work. And again, she was a beautiful woman. And he was talking about, yeah, I'm thinking about marrying her. And they're all saying, yeah, go ahead. So he went out to get counsel from people who were not believers and ended up getting married to her. Was that his choice to do? Yeah. Was that God's choice for him to do? Maybe not. Maybe not. How do you know? Well, later down the road, things went haywire and she divorced him. So he could have saved himself a whole lot of heartache. And I think God wants us not to have to go through some things that we're going through, and we wouldn't if we would just rest in his guidance. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. Matter of fact, that verse goes on, and a stranger they will not follow. Take time to listen. Matter of fact, use your prayer wheel and look at number 11 on your prayer wheel. If you're in a situation for guidance, it talks about a time to listen. Be still. God will speak to you if you're seeking him. You have the Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son have made their abode with you. They're on your side. Now watch what happens here. We talk about understanding three voices of divine guidance. James talks about it in James 4. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh or draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Divine guidance here is laid down in this setting. By the way, notice if you would here, in James 5, he talks about cleanse your hands, and purify your hearts. It's not just changing the outside, it's making sure that the inside is purified too. If the If you clean up the outside, which, by the way, the Pharisees did that, did they not? They were called whited sepulchers. They make clean the outside, and inside it was full of dead men's bones. Both of those things have to take place. Now, watch what happens here. If you look at this, there are three voices that will give guidance. Number one is self. Self. S-E-L-F. Self can speak. And many believe that they hear from God because they want something to happen. That's exactly what happened with this brother. He had already made up his mind, he had spoken to what he wanted to be done and called it as God's will. Whether it was the guy going back and forth from churches or looking for a spouse, which he was at complete liberty to do. Now, in order for self to speak correctly, to listen to yourself. You ever talk to yourself? Yeah, we do, don't we? David talked to himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He was talking to himself. Why art thou disquiet? He actually was preaching to himself. You have to submit yourselves, it says, to God. How? How do you submit yourself to God? First off, the word submit means to come under, correct? You have to make sure in a situation where you have to make a decision and you want God's guidance. We know the Spirit's there. He wants to bring out and let things flow to guide you. We have the abiding of the Father and the Son because we love and are attentive to His Word. So we have to take what we're thinking, what we may be planning of our own self, and bring that under God to make sure it is submitted to Him, my whole being. Submit yourselves, your mind, your will, and your emotions to God. So you would have this situation, you have God up here, and you'd have yourself down here. If you have that going like that, then you come to the second one. Satan can speak as well. If you don't believe me, ask Adam and Eve. Satan spoke to Christ at the temptation, trying to use Scripture. Cast thyself down, it is written of thee. He was quoting from the Psalms. That he will give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. They'll keep you from getting hurt. Satan will do whatever he can. Self will do what it can. But I want you to notice that if we come into that position where it's God here and we come under here with all of our desires and our will and all that stuff, then and only then can you resist the devil. You have to be under God to resist the devil. If you stay here, we did a teaching not long ago on obedience and disobedience, to hear under. If you stay here, you have exalted yourself as equal with God, which Satan had already done with his pride. And how do you expect the devil to resist you when you have not submitted to God yourself? He didn't even. Resist the devil. Look what it says. He will flee from you. He's gone. And then God. God can speak. We have to remember that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He stands before the Father accusing the brethren day and night. Sadly, many of his accusations are truthful about you and me. Draw nigh. God is inviting us. God has already come and said, my Holy Spirit is in you. If you will love my words, be attentive to my words, and my Father will love you, and my Father and I will make our abode. God's already come and made it to where it's not like we have to go a long ways. We just have to stay in the book and on our knees and be honest and sincere, humble. Come near to me, God says, and I will come near to you. It's that old saying where the guy's driving, him and his wife been married, and they're up in age now, and they're driving down. He's driving the old pickup down the road, and he's here, and she's over there. And she goes, honey, you remember when we were younger? Yeah, I remember. We were still driving in this truck. Yep, we've been driving this truck for a long time. You remember how you used to put your arm around me? We'd be driving down the road. You'd have your arm. I'd be sitting next to you. He goes, yeah, I do. She goes, how come we don't do that anymore? He goes, who moved? Who moved? The driver can't slide across over here, can they? Who moved? She did. Folks, I want to ask you a question tonight. If you're seeking God's divine guidance and you want his real, genuine help in giving direction for decision or decisions, and he seems distant, who moved? Brother Eastman, when he talks about draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you, he calls this the nearer, clearer principle. The nearer, clearer principle. And I tell you what, the closer you get to God, the clearer decisions will be, very clear. Because he's not going to lead you astray. He's a good shepherd, right? He'll give his life for you. He already has. He didn't bring this one up, but as I was looking at this, he called this the nearer, clearer. I called the first two the under-over principle. You stay under God, you'll be over Satan and his influence. Ponder what you believe it means that God speaks from his dwelling place, our hearts. And then at the bottom on prayer points, interesting here, consider a specific item for which you would like God's guidance. Just take a minute and think about that. A specific item which you would like God's guidance at this time in your life. Then specifically ask God. Now I want you to understand, you don't have to pray for all the missionaries around the world. There's a time for that, is there not? If I was talking with Carl and I said, Carl, I want to talk with you about my computer. And do I have to tell him about how things are going at the house and what I bought for groceries last week before we get into that? No. I'm coming to him for a specific need, and he's going to give me wisdom for that need. I don't have to go. And sometimes we think we have to pray all these different things. Sometimes we just need to go and talk specifically with him. Sometimes it always cracks me up. I'm not criticizing anybody. It doesn't happen here that I know of. But I've been in places where people get into the habit of on how they pray. And so they'll say, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be with us tonight, Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, that you would hear our prayers, Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, we would continue to pray that in these situations, Heavenly Father. And they use the word Heavenly Father just more than they do the rest of their prayer. It'd be like me going, hey, Glenn, is Gail Glenn going to make it, Glenn, Sunday for church, Glenn? What did you guys have for dinner, Glenn? And Glenn, do we do that with people? No, we don't. And so sometimes we fill these gaps of using the Lord's name, and it's actually, even though it's being a prayer, could it be considered in vain, in emptiness? Sure could. And so he wants us, don't come with me with a bunch of stuff. If you want my help, come and ask. You want to be filled with the Spirit? The Bible says, if you want the Holy Spirit, I'll give it to them that ask. Father, I need your help in this, but do you want the Holy Spirit? Just ask. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers in the field. That's all you got to do. You don't have to pray for everything. Just pray for what the specific item is. Consider a specific item to which you want would like God's guidance at this time in your life, then specifically ask God to help you to get self out of the way. You know how you get self out of the way? Somebody tell me, how do you get self out of the way? Huh? Yeah. Ultimately, you go under. When you go under, submit to God, you're out of the way. You're out of the way. Get self out of the way. Submit yourself to God first so that you can resist the devil. Next, verbally resist the devil. Jude chapter 1, verse 9. Very important. There we have a story of Michael the archangel, and Satan has come against him. These guys used to worship together, man. Think about that. He's the archangel. He's the one that oversees the throne of God, which means he took Lucifer's place because he was a covering cherub himself. And they're disputing over the body of Moses. Satan wanted the body of Moses. Why? Well, he knows how men are, and if I can find the body of Moses, they'll worship it. Lead them right into idolatry. How do we know that? Well, they took Moses' rod, and Israel set it aside, and they began to worship the rod. And he called it Nehushtan. It's just a piece of brass, he would say, that serpent. And so here he's disputing with Lucifer, Satan, and it would be easy in the flesh, like I would say, I would start, get out of here, you stupid idiot. Who do you think you are, you know? And he didn't say any railing accusation. Michael just looked at him and said, the Lord rebuke you. Not me. These people that go around rebuking demons, thinking they have power over them, they don't. He says, the Lord rebuke thee. Folks, that's what you need to do more of. Pray, God, give me guidance. I want to submit to you today, and Lord, rebuke the wicked one in my life. Rebuke him. He didn't say that you are to say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. No, he just said, Lord, you rebuke him. Finally, ask God to help you to draw near to him that you might hear his will in the matter. And it may take not just prayer, but sometimes this time comes out but by prayer and fasting. And you'll have to discern, and you'll be able to discern, because you'll be listening to the voice of God. So, let's take time to break up for prayer. I want you to find a second person, somebody that you can pray with, where you can be open with them, what you're needing guidance in, so that you two can pray together as touching one thing. Pray for each other's situation. And how many of you all are still, the first thing we started praying for when we started this study was, anybody remember? Huh? A lost person. How many of y'all are still praying for a lost person? How many of you are being successful with that? Carl? How many of you need help? How many of you would like a book? It's called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment. This is a book on salvation. It's broken down the best I've ever seen, where you just give it to somebody, say, would you get a chance, read that, and then get back with me. And then make sure you get back with them. I sent one of these to California to my brother. My brother read it and got saved. Folks, it's very simple. It's like basically he's sitting down across the table from someone. When you read, like you're sitting across the table from somebody, and they're explaining the gospel very clearly. So I've got some here. I got some in my office. I would like to offer them tonight after the service. You can come up if you want. Just take one. One for that one person you've been praying for in particular, okay? And if there's more left over after everybody gets a chance to get one. But folks, do something. Sometimes we pray, and sometimes God wants us to act as well, okay? So we'll be having some more stuff coming down the pike because of our study on Sunday mornings as well. But they'll be up here for you to grab. So take and find somebody real quickly here, and both of you take time to find something specific that you need for guidance so that you both can pray with each other. Submit to God while you're there and ask God to rebuke the wicked one and then say, Lord, help me to draw closer to you. Help me to love, agape your word so that, Father, you will agape me and abide with me. Can you do that tonight? That's where we're at. Go ahead and team up, and I'll wait and see if anybody needs somebody to get with.